All right. As I begin, I think we missed a birthday, and I believe that's right. Did someone sitting back there have a birthday this last week? Am I misinformed? You did, didn't you? Everyone give Ann a big hand back there. All right. Well, you're going to see a lot of scriptures up here, but if I don't read them all, it's because I'm still trying to just hit the highlights of Hebrews chapter 13. This is an encouraging word. I just titled it God's Encouraging Word, and some things he says he wants from us, but what he promises in Hebrews 13. We've been hitting some real hard and heavy stuff the last many, many weeks, and it was just like, let's have God, you know, it's just like time for some encouragement to keep it up. So let me read what I can. This is the New Living Translation. You'll see a bunch of scripture appear, but if I skip some, I'm doing it on purpose, just to give the major thrust of this passage. And he says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. So there it is. He said, I'm concluding this whole book, as Paul did so many times. I'll say Paul, God speaking through Paul, writing through him. And he said, just keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. And don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. That's always been a little bit of a bother to me. We live in an age, we do, where who's going to entertain a stranger? I mean, we don't, anybody you don't know, you're afraid of anymore. And yet, he's saying here, don't forget to show hospitality. Be nice, in other words, is all it means. You say, be nice, be hospitable. Help somebody if you don't know them, if they need help. He's saying, because it could be one of my angels, and I'm testing you. I'm seeing what you're going to do. And I want you to be discerning and understanding that this is the way I, the Lord, work. And so we have to match that against what the world system, and protect yourself and don't take chances. And it's tough. But God has not changed his word. And we'll see this in a moment. And we need to grasp this and take encouragement from it. But for the time being, he said, and remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. And he's certainly talking about Christians that were being imprisoned during this time. And he said, when a Christian is hit, when they're in prison, when society has hammered them real hard, don't forget them. Don't fall into this religious thing of, well, they must have done something wrong to be in so much trouble. That's that old religious, you know, hanging back there in the back. They must have done something for this to happen. Yeah, right. Maybe they were serving the Lord like they're supposed to. And we're supposed to not forget them. And then he says, give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. And God will judge people. He surely will judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. And then he moves on to say, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. I don't know of many people, if you're one of them, God bless you, that's satisfied with what they have. And it's hard to be satisfied, isn't it? Today you may spend $6.95, six something for a pound of hamburger meat that's full of chemicals and additives and stuff full of water. And then, you know, you go back 2 weeks later and it's a dollar more. And by the way, really watch the food you're getting. When you see that weird looking, have you ever looked in some of those packages you buy, you know, wherever, of just hamburger meat, and it looked, the juice off of it doesn't look like the real natural fluid that should be there, and looks sort of water. It is. You're paying for water and you're paying for chemicals. So I'm not up here to try to, you know, turn you away from eating, but just watch what you do. Once in a while, give yourself a break. You know, go out and eat some cedar leaves or something. But really, it's just unreal. And it's just, he says, so don't love money, and it's hard not to. And he said, don't be satisfied with what you have. But here's what he says: regardless of everything, he said, when it comes down to it, God has said, I will never fail you. Does everybody get this? We're going to come back over some of this. He said, I will not fail you. No matter what's going on, what's happening, I will not fail you. And I will never abandon you. Never. You need this. We all need this. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, and I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? And he says, remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that's come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. You need to follow the example I'm setting today. Go get you a bright green shirt and so everybody can see you coming. Now, when I leave here, I brought another little short sleeve Henley. I'm taking this off. And I just came in here to brighten up the message. I really did. This has been hanging in my closet, and I saw it, and I just kept looking at it and thought, oh, do something different. You're not too old to a little change. But then I did bring another little just earth tone Henley, and I thought, I am not wearing this out past church. And I can't do that. So anyway, but just remember your leaders. He said, just, you know, and I want you, remember your leaders, please. Remember your spiritual leadership. And that's over there in verse 17, which I won't read to you completely. But it just says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. You don't have to do what I personally say. Do what I'm telling, what God's used me to say here in this word. And keep this word. That's what he's saying, but it's important, or else dissension comes. Now, here's the part. Grab this. We'll come back to it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's it. That wraps it up. Somebody can say, well, I don't know about this, and I don't know that, and surely God is... No. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he says, don't be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. All these, you know, all the food, don't eat food offered to idols and all this junk. And like I was saying a while ago, if you want to eat hamburger meat with chemicals in it, you can. It's like, Tony, do you? Oh, I do now and then, yes. I do. But I just look at it and say, what is that? So we have an altar, and I'm not gonna go into all that. He says, let us go out to the camp, outside of the camp. What he was saying is, let's leave all these Jewish ceremonies. Go outside like Jesus did, where he died on the cross. He died outside the Jewish. He fulfilled the law, and he died outside the Jewish system to begin a whole new thing, Christianity. And he said, you've got to come out of all the rules and regulations and the letter of the law and get out here under grace and under mercy, under the love of Jesus. And I want you to, he said, I want you to put yourself forward. You read all this on your own and study it. And put yourself forward as a Christian, not as a legalistic person that has to go through 70 or 80 something things just to wash your hands and be totally cleansed. It never worked for me. And I hit a little soap, hit a little water. And why waste paper towels or anything like that? That's what jeans are made for. And and just hit them and go, and you're good to go. So he said he suffered and died outside the camp, and go out there with him, get tied up with him, and leave a bunch of this stuff behind. Therefore, in verse 15, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. We're going to hit this in a moment and talk about it. Because if you notice this, it doesn't say, let us offer through Jesus a praise to God, but a sacrificial praise, a sacrifice. So he's saying we're going to have to offer praise that kind of hurts sometimes when we do it. It's going to be a sacrifice. And we'll look at all that in a moment. And he said, don't forget to do good. Everybody do good. And share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. And then he talks about the leaders and pray for us. And let's go to verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood. I know this is a lot of reading, and it's condensed. But you need to hear it. because God, it's not just bullet points and notes and research. It's just the Word of God that we sometimes, you know, they just stand and read it, and we take comfort from it and we learn from it. And he said, so the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified eternal covenant with his blood, he says, may he equip you. Catch this. May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that's pleasing to him. All glory to God forever and ever. And then he said, I urge you, brothers and sisters, pray attention to what I've written. I want you to know that Brother Timothy has been released from jail. That's the kind of people, when Christians are in bondage, when they're hurt, and he's, you know, that's why we're supposed to pray for them and go visit them, greet all the leaders and the believers there. And may the God of grace be with you all. Now read this thoroughly. I've whizzed through it and hit the highlights, but let's talk about God's encouraging word. This message is meant to be, and the Lord put it on my heart, encourage my people today. We've been coming hard and strong, and now let's just take some encouragement. And so, you know, it won't be as forceful, but it'll be direct as always. And we're going to highlight some of the things that God just put on my heart to bring today. First, he said, keep loving one another. And we hear this a lot. We read this a lot in Scripture. You hear this in many messages, to love one another. But he said, you keep loving one another. And you look at the Greek tense and you say, what was the tense? What words were used? What type of love and all that? And how did it, you know, what was he specifically saying? So we can get the truth of it and apply it. And he said, so love each other. And to do that, listen to me. If you're going to love people, you can't just mouth those words. You have to work at it. Love is work. Love is hard. Love is not natural to us. Human love, erotic love, you know, sexual, you know, desires and turn-ons, but not that agape love. And he said, if you're going to love somebody as Jesus loves them, you're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to practice it. You can't just talk about it. Church after church is talked about, and when churches have Bible studies, and many have Sunday schools, and in messages, and oh, it's love one another. Yeah, well, somebody needs to tell the truth and say, love is hard. It's hard to love people. It's hard to love yourself. Not be in love with yourself, that's different. But Jesus said, love your neighbor as what? Yourself. And what did he mean? He didn't mean be in love with, you know, look at me. But he was saying, he wants you to stand there and say, look at what Jesus Christ in me, my hope of glory, is doing through me. Look at Christ in me, my hope of glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for making me like I am. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making my body your temple. Yeah, God, I really like that. That's what he's talking about. And then love your neighbor with that same love. And it's just hard to love yourself. It's hard for a Christian to accept that. You know what? Look at yourself. If you're really in serious and intent on being in fellowship with the Lord and being who God wants you to be, you just get to where you hate sin, don't you? About the time you think you're becoming the Christian God wants you to be, you just blow it and slide right back down in the sewer. Or maybe that's just me. You ever think if you got all those bad words whipped? Okay, well, this table over here, we know, needs help. Anybody else? And you ever said to God, God, help me not to be saying this anymore, and I'm not going to lose it anymore. And I mean, not an hour passes when you do that, the test comes. And obviously this table has not been passionate well, but some of the rest of you might. But it's incredible. And then you can, it's so easy to get down on yourself, isn't it? And the devil begins to attack in your mind, your own conscience, and tell you, you must not be saved. How can you be saved? A saved person wouldn't do that, wouldn't have a fit like that. Then out there, and how many of you have been just refraining from and restraining yourselves on the highway, going back in and forth from San Antonio and wherever you go, and Kerrville, wherever it is, and you've been restraining your, no road rage, no IQ signs in the window, none of that kind of stuff. Has anybody mastered that yet? Okay, well, I said, okay. What's that?
The ones who don't drive.
The ones who don't drive. You see what he's saying here? Well, love is work. You're going to have to work at loving yourself, and you've got to work at forgiving yourself and letting God forgive you. Because if you can't love yourself as Christ made you and he working in you in his grace and his saving grace, if you can't love that, if you can't forgive yourself when you mess up by accepting his forgiveness, how in the world are you going to extend it to anybody else? So much of what, you know, the way we look at people is just projection of our own selves. You ever notice that when somebody's doing something that we've been guilty of in our lives, we're so hard on them ourselves? A lot of times the people we're judging the most harshly, it's because they're doing and saying the things we're guilty of or have been in our lives. And love is hard. And you're going to have to practice. You can't sit back and say, well, God, just let this love happen. He said, I've given it to you. I've given my love to you and shown God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. He said, I've given it. I'm showing you. I'm working at it. But you've got to do the same thing every day, every day. If you've been married a while, you've got to work at love. You're going to have to practice it. And you just take things for granted, and there's not the affection like it used to be. There's not the touch. There's not the, you know, the looks into the eyes of the other person. And we just take it for granted. Don't. You have to practice love in marriage most of all. You got to practice love with your friends. You have to work at it. I meet with people a lot, as you well know, and we sit down and we talk about this. And I bring up this love thing, and most guys roll their eyes. Oh, God, he's going to talk about love. And then talk to them. And are you looking at her like you used to look at her? Are you still making eye contact with this woman? And why would I look at the guys like that? Because guys have a tendency to get a little slouchy in these areas, a little slack. Do you still look at her and let her see in your eyes that you just really, you really love her? And I say to the gals, and gals, I say to women, you know, in a relationship, is your tone of voice as mellow and adoring as it used to be, or you gotten a little fractious? Instead of saying, you know, honey, you didn't pick up the clothes like you used to. Now it's, you didn't pick up the clothes. And it's like, you have to work at it. You have to work. Don't let yourself drift. Be who God put you here to be. And so you get this. And in the church and with each other, pray a prayer and ask God, God, remind me if I'm starting to get, taking things for granted, getting a little harsh. My voice is rough. And I'm saying things. And what about your expressions? Do your expressions say things to people? You just have a way, and I'm just looking at somebody, and they know that you're very displeased with them. I know none of you husbands and wives do that to each other. Listen, each and every day, you have to ask God for grace. Grace is part of his love. Well, you know, it's like, what's involved in this love thing? It's, well, there's grace, and there's faith, and there's hope, and there's patience. Love covers all these things. Like 1 Corinthians 13, you need to read that again. Read it often. And listen, pray. If you're going to love, really be loving. Love each other. Love your husband, your wife, your kids, and be able to overcome the things that everybody does they shouldn't do. You're going to have to pray for the power to let it go. Let offenses go. I had to deal with some issues in the last several days, and it was just with other people. And it was because they couldn't let go of things from their past that had been said and done to them. Friends, everybody in this room has had it done to us. Somebody has really let us have it. And a lot of you, it's been several somebodies. You're going to have to let the love of Christ flow into your heart. And God's encouraging you to do this. And God is saying to you, let me take this. Let me have this. Let it go. And maybe you did it. Maybe you're the one that committed the sin, the error, the grievous act. Let it go. God has. You've asked forgiveness. You've repented. He's cast it into the depths of the sea and removed it as far as the east is from the west. Let me share this real quick. We'll move on so we can close up here in a minute. Pray for the power to let insults go. Discourtesy. Rudeness. Pray for the power to let abandonment go. Some of you have been abandoned. Somebody in your childhood, a parent left. Things happen. A husband or wife really messed you up. A good friend that you thought was like no friend anybody could ever have, a Jonathan and David kind of thing, and they stabbed you right in the back. And friends, you have to pray and ask God, help me let that abandonment go. The crazy drivers, let them go. Jesus come to give you life, give it in abundance, and you're not living if you're not letting it go. It's making you a slave to it. And God just wants you to love one another as you love yourself, who you are in Christ. And He's here to deliver you. This is such a wonderful thing. Just let it go. And then secondly, be okay with what you have. Be okay with who you are. What did he say over here, you know? Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. God has said, I'll never leave you. I'll never abandon you. And the Lord's word today is, I got you. I got this. Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. Solomon in all of his glory wasn't dressed like one of these. Look at the birds of the air. They don't have any flame. They don't have barns and silos and all that stuff. And Jesus saying, but your heavenly Father takes care of them. He feeds them. He said, just look around you and realize God's been in this business a long, long time. He knows how to take care of you. We forget that. God is very experienced. He's very wise. He's God. He's not going to let you down. He's going to let you think that you've been let down to grow you, to strengthen you, to increase your faith and perseverance and endurance and your patience. But God has promised, and He reiterates it here, I won't fail you. I won't let you go. I'll never let you down. He's saying, you know what He's saying in this? Trust me. Just trust me. If something's happened to you and you're going, how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to fix this? What are we going to do? And God's saying, I'm letting you kind of run out the end of your string here on that. And He might let you dangle. And sometimes what God's wanting you to do is let go. Just let go of the rope. Let go of your security blanket and trust Him. Fall into His arms. Be okay with what you have. You know, He says don't love money. He didn't say that money's bad. And we know in other places said the love of money is the root of all evils. That's the love of it. You got to have it to buy that hamburger meat that's got the runny stuff in it. He says just don't let money become your God. That's what He's saying. And this is where the trap is. Don't let money become your God. Look around today and people in political positions and the two things that motivate their lives, they've lost their sensitivity to God, to humanity, to them, to themselves. The two things that motivate them is money and power. And it's pushing. Follow the money trail. If you want to find out why certain things happen the way they do, follow the money trail. Who's putting in the money? Where's it coming from? Who's trying to manipulate who? Who's buying off what? Just don't let money become your God. And you have to guard your heart. Listen, guard your heart and mind against worrying about money. Let me just ask you, is there anybody in here, be honest, is there anybody that worries about money? It's just in your family, it's been your life, okay? Yeah? Anyone else? You know, even if you have some, you worry about it. And if you get a little extra, that sounds real good, doesn't it? Where'd I come from? If you get a little extra money, then you're worried about, well, what's going to break that's going to take it away from? Okay. And he's saying, trust me. And listen, be careful. We all do that. I've done it. I get a little extra money, and first thing you know, because it happens so often, and usually with me, the pickup out there, I just turned over $305,000 on that thing, but things are falling off once in a while, and going out, and I have to replace. So I get a little extra money. I'm thinking, okay, truck, what is it now? Guess what? The Lord has been showing me about that. Tony, don't speak a curse on yourself. Don't speak something like that the devil can use against you. Speak good. You get some extra. You thank God for it and say, God, this is a blessing and good's going to come from this. We just get so conditioned to saying that gnarly stuff, and because things have happened to us, and he's saying, just don't love money, don't let it be your God, and remember Philippians 4:19, God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory. You're good. You may not feel good, but you're good, because God is good. Now listen. Thirdly, let's look what we pull out of this. It says, this is important. Get this today. I'm staying more low-key because this is more of a sharing message, because God wants you encouraged. And the third thing he's talking about that we need to bring out here is so vital to know. We take this for granted. We read over it, but we don't get it. What is that? That Jesus does not change. Jesus Christ, what does it say? Is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So don't be attracted by, you know, strange and new ideas. But what does that mean to you? Have you thought about it? You said, well, yeah, you know, here's what I've always been taught when I went through seminary. It's not bad. This was accurate. It just wasn't enough. It was, Jesus is not going to change his word to suit society. And society's norms will change, and we'll say, oh, this thing that used to be an abomination to God or big sin to God, now, oh, God's understanding, he's love. If two people love each other, what does it matter? It matters to God. God says there's right and there's wrong, and that's all there is to it. And he said there's God created man, God created woman, and that's the way it is. And you're to be, and that's who's to be attracted to each other. And I'm sorry, but anything outside of that, that's God's not going to change his word to meet what we want and what society says is okay. Is everybody with me? I'm not up here on some agenda. I'm on God's agenda, and that's God's word. And God's saying, just because society and the government and the president passes all this, you know, and this new Title IX thing, whatever. God's saying, I'm not passing any new regulation. It's in here in my word, and my people need to either believe it or walk away from it and commit apostasy and just turn you back. Otherwise, you take me and you take my word. And that doesn't mean you go out and judge people and blow things up or kill anybody. It simply means that for you, you stand on the word of God, and that's what God says. And Jesus does not change his word. And by the way, but you need this too. He does not change his promises. If he says he'll meet all your needs, he means it. And if he says you can do all things through him, through Christ who strengthens, that's Philippians 4:13, who strengthens you, he means that too. And if he says I'll never leave you, forsake you, he means that too. And you take that and you live with it every day and every night. And you say, you can say, God, you know, one of your night prayers, why not do this? And say, God, thank you that you do not jerk your promises away from me even when I'm stupid. When I just have a case of the stupids. Now we've laughed about this in the past, but I just see things, stuff that I do once in a while, and I think, that's stupid. Is anybody else in here still having cases of the stupids? You know, you do it or you say something. You ever look at look in your friends, your husband, wife's eye, your kid's eyes, and as soon as you said something and you're thinking, but your pride won't let you admit it, but you're thinking to yourself, that was really stupid. But your pride then makes you defend yourself and rear up and be all, and inside you're going, that was a really stupid thing to say. Have you ever committed to something on the spur of the moment and then realize when you walk off, that was really stupid? Now I'm in it, up to my neck. Why did I say that? It's just because we have the stupids. But when we do, when we have the real, you know, we really sin and we blow it, we lose that temper, whatever it is, God's saying, okay, repent of it, but I'm not changing. What does that mean? I died for you. I rose again for you. I'm seated at the right hand of God the Father interceding for you. And you're not guilty because I've taken that guilt. And when you confess your sins, I cleanse you and make you sins what? Though my sins were scarlet, now they're white as snow. And they said, you're just not going to make me change my mind about you. You can't make me hate you. Don't you see it? You can't make him hate you. You can't make him reject you. So stop trying. Accept that he loves you that much and his grace is sufficient. Okay, so he doesn't change his word. He doesn't change his promises. That's the theological side we were all taught. And then God begins to move and say, and what else do I not change? When I say that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now you need this. Are you ready for it? He doesn't change his mind about you. You're his born-again child in Jesus Christ. When you ask Jesus in your heart, repent of your sins, and he writes your name in his book of life. And no matter what you ever say, what you ever do, no matter what terrible sins in your life, he's not changing his mind about you. And we, in a sense, as people, can fall out of love with someone. But God never falls out of love with us. He loves you as much today as he did the very day you accepted him. And when you step into glory, he'll love you just as much that day as the day you received him in your heart. He doesn't change his mind about you. Even when you have the stupids, it doesn't matter. When you repent of your sins and place your faith in him, you're forgiven, you're cleansed, and you're free, and you're enrolled in heaven, and you're sealed in the Holy Spirit. And friends, that's the way it is. And you need to know that. He loves you. He forgives you. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we change. God does not. We're unfaithful. He's faithful. We sin. He doesn't. We deserve death, and he gives us life. We deserve chastisement, and he just gives us love. We deserve abandonment. You know, we do and say things, and we look at, and it's, God, why don't you just go away from me? I'm not worth it. And he just grabs you up and holds you even closer. And says, my sweet child, my prodigal daughter, my prodigal son, do you think for a moment I'm not going to stand here looking for you? Even when you've run away from me, I will never leave you, forsake you. You may leave me, but the eyes of the Lord will search you out, and I'll know where you are, and my heart breaks for you, and I'll receive you when you turn around and repent and come back to me. Is this not good or what? I mean, we all need this. Got to close. Well, here it are. Give Jesus the sacrifice of praise. Boy, I had to study that. Why are you saying sacrifice of praise? Let us therefore offer Jesus, verse 15, a continual sacrifice of praise. I'm like, why is it a sacrifice to praise God? And then it began, you know, as you study it and you research it and you pull it and you pray it. You got to pray these things. That's how you meditate on the Word of God. And you say, God, show me. What does that mean? Why would there be sacrificial praise? I mean, praise should just come from the flow of the Spirit. And he said, because the sacrifice comes when you're surrendering yourself. You know, you got, you know, he would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And it's like the sacrifice is when you give up your body, as I said in Romans 12, as a living sacrifice. He said, that's what I'm talking about. You've got to praise me out of surrender, and that's tough to do. It's one thing to praise me when it's all going well, when you're sitting in church, when we're singing a song. But what about when I'm calling on you to not do something? Don't speak those words. Don't drink that stuff. Don't eat that food. Don't be with those people. And that's the sacrifice. And you have to praise me because I'm leading you not to do something you want to do. Like, whoa. That's what you mean. And it's like, yes, that's a sacrificial praise. It's when you sacrifice your body to me and you praise me for it. When things happen to you, when you need surgery on your shoulder, are you going to, that's sacrificial praise. Why? Because you don't feel like praising me for it. Instead, you want to accuse me and say, why are you letting this happen to me? And I am requiring you to say, God, all glory belongs to you through this, and I'm going to surrender, and every one of us, things happen, and he's saying, are you going to complain? Are you going to be mad? Are you going to say, God, whatever your purpose, whatever your plan, you got it. And I thank you for it. You're saying, well, Tony, are you there? No, I'm working on it. But I still have to bring the truth whether I'm able to perfect it in my life yet or not. So this message is as much at me and for me as it is for anybody else. Because it's been real hard with all the surgeries 2 years ago. And then, you know, and then come back now and we're looking. And all us, the rest of us, what are you facing? And he said, that's when it's sacrifice. When you offer your body and say, God, I don't belong to me, I belong to you. So whatever you want to do with this body, do it. Now get this. And God, my husband, my wife, my kids, my family, my friends don't belong to me. They belong to you. Listen to this. So whatever you want to do with them, they're your property. That's your business. Give me a heart of praise for whatever the outcome is meant to be from you. Because it's all in your hands, I'm in your hands, we're all in your hands. That's sacrificial praise. It's when I don't feel like it, don't want to do it, but I do it because I trust God knows what he's doing, and I have faith in his ultimate will, his ultimate purpose. I don't have to be jumping up and down for the hurt today. I'm to be jumping up and down for the joy tomorrow. You with me? For the healing tomorrow. It's interesting. I've read this many, many times. Studied it, preached on it. But God just shows more and more. And he got a hold of me on this one. I was writing these notes. And it's like, hey, son, let's use your shoulder for an example. And it's like, you let a lot of things happen to me, for examples, don't you? That's like, so the messages, listen to this. So the messages will come from your heart, Tony. And that's why things will happen to you too. So that your life, your message, your testimony comes from your heart. You're not just quoting the book, you're living the book. And that's when people are touched by it. Okay, wrap up time. And it says, go on down to the bottom. There's just so many things. Oh, no, I missed one. May God equip you with all you need for doing his will. And it's simply this. God will never call you to do something, say something, be somewhere, do anything that he's not already equipped you to do, whether you know it or not. Everybody with me? God never sends a person into the combat zone without being trained for combat. He won't call you to face the devil and duke it out with him in whatever that may be, in a relationship with people, with friends, family, work. any environment. He won't do that without equipping you. And all the things we go through is equipping. He's teaching you how to survive. He's teaching you how to endure. Listen to me. He's teaching you how to love when everybody else around you are the nastiest things on earth. He's teaching you how to give when nobody's handing you a toothpick. He's teaching you how to be what He is. He's teaching you to be who He was when He walked this earth. That's what He's doing. And He's equipped you to do it. And He's training you to do it. And He trains His people. And that's why you've been through so much and you'll go through more. Me too. So I realize everything I have to go through. Yes. Yes. You know, He wants me to have sacrificial praise for it, but was there more purpose in it? Yeah, obviously I didn't learn everything I was supposed to learn. Let me give you a little hint here, just from my own life. Try to learn your lesson the first time or you're going to go through something else. Till you get it. Till you're where He wants you to be. And then this closing verse, last verse. May God's grace be with you all. What does that mean? By grace, we are saved through faith. That's Ephesians 2. This not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So what is grace? It literally means unmerited favor. It's a favor given by God that you didn't earn. It's from His love. And He's saying, may God's grace, that unmerited favor, His love, and all the things He's talking about in here, this His unchangeability is non-changing. His love for you, His perseverance with us. He said, may that grace, that unmerited favor, be yours. May it be with you, every one of you. May you take it with you from this place. May you carry it to your homes and your place of business. May you carry it to your husbands and wives and children and family. May you carry it out here to the grocery store. May you carry it to the gas station. That unmerited favor of God's grace, and may it fill and overflow your life. May it cause you to do and say and give and have the expressions and the whole demeanor that Jesus Christ has had when He walked this earth. That nobody, nowhere, no way is ever going to put me down and keep me from being who Christ wants me to be. And I'm going to smile at people when they're ugly. I'm going to shake their hand when I can't stand them. I'm going to look them in the eye and let them see that Jesus Christ is bigger than my little puny emotions. I'm going to let them see Christ in me, my hope of glory. He's going to shine forth. That's the grace that He closes us with. And He say, may God's grace, that kind of grace, be with you all and guide you each and every one when you walk out of this place this day. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And Lord, lead us not into temptation. Don't let us be tempted. But deliver us from evil and evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. All honor and glory to you forever, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you for being here this day.